Blog Talk Radio.
Live edition here of Fred House Sports' Cleanup Hitters. All I can say is this. Welcome to the world of live radio. Yeah. Yep. I'll tell you what all of that means here in a couple of moments. I got to get our one and only frat boy in here tonight, and that's Sean. Sean, how we doing tonight?
Good evening, Fred House Mike.
Yeah, we got to talk it up, buddy, because it's just you and I at this point. I'm telling you, live radio. Yes, and for those of you that are listening, you're going, wait a minute, you guys are coming to us on, it's Wednesday night, it's supposed to be Tuesday. No, we didn't coordinate the schedule just to commemorate Jackie Robinson Day, albeit that is the day it is, and wow, I guess I should have thought of that, and perhaps maybe that's what I should have done, is just had scheduled the program for today. But no, that's not what happened. Thanks to our good friends over at Blog Talk Radio. Well, we just couldn't get the show scheduled. Wasn't working. Yeah. Technical difficulties. Gotta love it. That's what I'm talking about. The world of live radio right here as we know it. So what we did was we finally worked out the kinks and the problems, and we got it scheduled for today, and we're coming to you here today. And, well, today has just been one disaster after another. That's all I can say at this point. We were supposed to be joined as well by our usual fret boy, Nick Mandarano. But, Nick's got some last-minute college work he needs to get done, his first year there at St. Joe's. And well, being the former teacher that I am and recognizing the importance of that sort of thing, I had to give him a pass for this evening. Caleb, unfortunately, wasn't able to join us as well, but we've got Sean here with us. And I was able
to... We're still going to have fun.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will. I was able to secure with us, and they will be joining us shortly. He's being a bit delayed as well. That's our good buddy Nick Swartz from Baseball Hot Corner. But we'll have Nick with us shortly. But one of the things I found out, Sean, just I guess about, the timestamp on the communication from, we were supposed to have a guest here with us this evening. This is what I'm saying. This whole program, I should have known yesterday when things just weren't working right on getting the program scheduled on Monday evening going into Tuesday. I should have known right then and there. You know what? Frat House Mike, just cancel this damn show, seriously, because it's just not working. We were supposed to have a guest here with us. We were supposed to be joined by Brandon Warren from, he's a baseball insider and a contributor to KTWN 96.3 FM out in Minneapolis, the flagship radio program show for flagship radio station for the Minnesota Twins. We were going to be joined by him. But at about 2 minutes after six this evening, Brandon contacted me and said, hey, Frat House Mike, sorry, I can't make it. General manager has just called all the media together, and we're supposed to be meeting with them at 6:30, which is 7:30 our time. You know, I'm starting to wonder, is something going down over at Minnesota? You know, you got to wonder, I mean, could they possibly be making a major move this early in the season? I mean, right now, Minnesota, I think, is right now the worst team in baseball on record. It was supposed to be our Philadelphia Phils, but Minnesota right now is 1-6. I'm trying to remember. I thought that they had a fairly new manager over there as it is. I don't know, but apparently, no, that's what I thought. So it can't be anything like that. I don't know what the meeting is being called, but, anyhow, Brandon being part of the, beat corps for the Minnesota Twins, naturally, the general manager waves his finger and, well, the media is going to line up. So, you know, as much as I'd like to think that Fred House Sports' cleanup hitters would take a priority, I got to be honest. I it's the general manager, man. You know, I guess he pulls a little more weight than you and I do, Sean. I don't know. I mean, should we be jilted here? I tried to be polite to him and say, you know, maybe we can get you back next week. You know, I don't know. What do you think?
Hey, well, maybe if something big is going down in Minnesota, maybe we'll hear from him next week about what exactly is going on.
You know, I should have said to him, listen, if there's something really breaking here, here's our number. Do me a favor, call us first. Yeah, call us
call
first.
Call in, text one
of
us.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You know, I should have done that way and then that way. No, but seriously, we will hopefully at some point in the future, we will get Brandon Warren in with us from Minnesota, Minneapolis. See what's going on up there in the Twins neck of the woods. And perhaps maybe as early as next week. So, but anyhow, that's where we are. What we got to do is we've got to kind of, we're going to roll around with it and we're just going to make the best of it. And what that means more than ever for all of you that are out there listening is we really could use some input from all of you. So here's what I need you to do. Give us a call, give us a holler, give us your thoughts on what's going on. Look, we've got 1 week of baseball in the books now at this point. And even for the really worst teams, and we're going to talk about a couple of the really worst teams, Sean and I are fans of one of the really worst teams in Major League Baseball. The bottom line is April is still nonetheless a kind of, it's still a warm-up month. You know, you really don't, your team has to be really, really bad before you turn them off. Before the month of April is over, if you know what I mean. I mean, there have been how many Phils games has there been? Eight? I think there have been eight games. I have actually watched all eight of them. So I'm there, and I'm going to stick with them there for a while. I can't promise that I'm going to still be hanging with them come July 4, but I'm following it. And April is still that month where almost anything is possible. So here's what we want to do. We want to get as many of you calling in to us. We need you to be the guest tonight that we were supposed to have from Minneapolis. 347-826-9964. Give us a holler that way. 347-826-9964. Jump in on any of our conversations. If you're listening via computer and you are Skype capable, you can hit the little blue Skype button. I'll put you through to us loud and clear. Chat room is wide open. We've got a couple of guests in there, and I appreciate that. Otherwise, you can hit me up on Twitter if you want, at Frat House Mike. I'd be more than happy to bring your comments and your commiserating to the air with us here, at Frat House Mike, or hit us up on the phone line, 347-826-9964. We've got our buddy Nick Swartz with us. Let's get Nick in because we're going to commiserate with him as well. Nick, how are you? Thanks for joining us on late notice here. You're pinch hitting in here for our other Nick. How things for you, Nick?
Things are going good. I always did pretty good as a pinch hitter, so hopefully I can come through here for you.
There you go. Absolutely. I was just going through everything that all of the travails of the past 2 days here in putting this program together, and I don't know whether you had heard the comments before or not. Our guest that we were supposed to have, Brandon Warren from Minneapolis, to talk about the Twins. He got in touch with me at about 2 minutes after 6 this evening, which is just after 5 o'clock their time. Unfortunately, not able to join us this evening as apparently some sort of, I don't know if it's an announcement or a collective of media are going to be getting together with the general manager of the Minnesota Twins there at 6:30. I don't know if that means something's going down with the Minnesota Twins or not, but as I was just pointing out to Sean, I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me, I guess. They're the worst team right now in baseball at 1-6. But apparently that's the case there. We don't have Brandon Warren, and so therefore I just kind of thought, you know what? It is what it is. We're just going to wing it. That's kind of the show that we've put together here for this week. So there it is. I don't know if you know any, because you're being an American League follower over there with the Yankees. For those that are listening, Nick Swartz, of course, is a writer for baseballhotcorner.com and covers the New York Yankees. We're going to talk about the Yankees here in a moment with him. But being an AL follower over there, Nick, I was thinking Minnesota, their manager over there, is he a first-year guy? Who's the manager over at Minnesota? Do you know off the top of your head?
Not off the top of my head. Oh, no, isn't it Paul Molitor?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it is. That's right. You're absolutely right. It is Paul Molitor. And is this his first year? This is his first year, is it?
No, I think it's his second.
I'm
pretty sure this is his second. This is his second season.
Well, all right. So the general manager is not firing Paul Molitor. You don't fire Paul Molitor. He's a Hall of Famer.
Maybe like another year or two like this they might, but I can't see him doing it already.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, okay. So, all right, I don't know. Okay, again, I don't know what the general manager's meeting with the I guess we'll find out from Brandon at some point. We'll get him. We'll get him in here with us at some point. All right, anyhow. Hey, real quick, Nick, since we got you here, early thoughts with regard to your Yankees. You know, you're kind of sitting in the same situation as Sean and I are here with the Phils. What are they, 3-5 right now? I think they're sitting in they're sitting in last place right now in the American League East. What are your early thoughts right now on the Yankees?
I just recently wrote an article, and the headline was MLB losers. MLB week one losers, and it was Yankee haters because, you know, the Yankees are traditionally slow starters. So this the record doesn't really concern me that much. What concerns me is the pitching of CC Sabathia and Dylan Betances. Those two things concern me the most because, you know, especially with the bullpen, supposed to be the strength of the Yankees, the defense supposed to be the strength of the Yankees, and committing a lot of errors, getting no production out of Serdidi. Those little things concern me. But the record-wise, now the Yankees usually start out slow and come along. I think they're gonna be in the race the whole way. But no, early season, just the little things like the errors, the back end of the bullpen not coming through as well as I'd like, and the hitting, you know, as a whole. Not being what I would expect. The bright spot, though, is Alex Rodriguez. This is definitely his team, and he's come out on fire, and, you know, he's really taken in everything that the fans have given him on the road, and the Yankee fans welcome him back. And I really think he has something to prove, and I think that helps the Yankees, you know, win.
Right. Yeah, a couple of questions I want to get you up on there with regard to the Yankees. But, well, I see we got a call here. So, and I'm not quite, excuse me, quite sure who it is. So let me get them in here on the air and we'll find out what's on their mind. Thanks for calling Frat House Sports and Cleanup Hitters. What's on your mind tonight?
This is the biggest A-Rod fan on the planet.
Uh-oh.
Kevin Floyd, how are you today?
Real good.
How you doing, Nick Swartz?
Yeah, pretty good. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm chiming in on the Yankee conversation here. Yeah. So what do you want to know? I mean, you want me to basically answer the same questions Nick just did?
Well, yeah. I mean, look, I'm trying to get a handle on it. I mean, look, they've played, I mean, from up – it's early. You know, it's early for everybody. So, you know, you're sitting 3-5, and – I know Nick covers the team over there for Baseball Hot Corner. I was just trying to get a feel for the team. I'm looking at things right now. You got a series going against the Orioles. 1-1, lost one. Both games seem to be competitive. You know, I think the Orioles are a good team. I don't know. I'm looking at the. Go ahead.
I think they got the personnel. I think they can hit. I just think Girardi needs to stop jumbling that lineup. I mean, set a lineup. I mean, let the guy hit. You know, Beltran can't hit third. A-Rod's hitting. Why not put Beltran at six? Take some pressure off Beltran. Maybe he'll start hitting. Put A-Rod in the middle of the lineup. That presence. A-Rod needs somebody protecting him to solidify that presence in the lineup. You know, he needs somebody hitting behind him like a McCann. He can't have Drew. He can't have Drew hitting behind him and expect that to affect the pitcher's psyche in a game, because they're just going to pitch around him. Even though Drew hit a grand slam yesterday, I mean, or the day before, you know, but that's not going to happen often.
The
I just feel like the Yankees need to have more of a steady lineup.
The and Nick, jump in here. The games that they have lost up to this point, I don't see a heck of a lot of offensive production coming from, and I think this might go back to your lineup issue there that was just being brought up. I don't see a heck of a lot of offensive production. Are the Yankees losing because of a lack of offense, or are they losing on the mound?
I think that the games that they've lost has definitely been lack of production from the bottom of the lineup.
Okay.
You know, that's the biggest issue. It's a top-heavy lineup, and, you know, getting A-Rod protection is absolutely right. And another thing is that Girardi's decisions on, you know, the guys he's sitting out. McCann sat out, like, 3 games in 5 days. That didn't make very much sense. They don't have that strong depth that they had in years past. And there's no reason. I know McCann caught that, you know, what, 17 innings that the other night, but there was no reason to sit him 2 nights. They need their starters out there. These guys are getting paid big bucks to produce. They're starting to get a little bit warm, and Girardi's, you know, it seems to me that he's trying to mix and match way too early. Like, he's outthinking himself, you know. He needs to find a lineup and get those guys in there and stick with them. Now, every day, you know, every once in a while, you know, the catcher needs a day off, but he doesn't need 3 days off in 5 days.
You and I have talked about this, though, on one other program, Nick, and that was the age of this particular team. The mixing up of the lineup, I mean, we're seeing a lot of that over with the Phils as well. And I think you do frequently see that as a sign of an aging team. Might that be some of the thinking in Girardi's mind?
I would think so when it comes to you know, I don't know, though, because with McCann, I can see sitting him that first day after that 17 innings, right? You know, sitting Stephen Drew, I mean, I have no problem with he sits Stephen Drew for the rest of the season. He did get that grand slam. He hit 2 home runs, though, in 3 days. Yes, age would, but it's April. You know, like, I don't think these guys need to start being babied already. It's the beginning of the season.
Yeah,
the first week
point.
Of the season just went by, you know? So I don't think that – I think it's more him – you know, outthinking himself and not just having confidence in the guys he puts on the field and let them kind of mesh together, you know? That's my problem. I think that he's overthinking and he's not sticking to a lineup. You look at these teams that are winning, they're running the same guys out there and they're going with them. And even the teams that should be good, like the Marlins, a team that, you know, I think at the end of the season will be up there, the Nationals. You don't see a lot of changes going on there because they know that they have the talent. Girardi's outthinking himself, and I think it's a lot of pressure of not making the playoffs the last two seasons and not making the playoffs, you know, in the intense media pressure in New York. You know, Girardi's trying too hard, and it's only April. As much as he'll say in his pressers, like, you know, those things like it's April, it's early, you know, we're going to come around. Well, he's saying it, but he's not showing us, the fans, that because he's shown so much, you know, indecisiveness with his lineup and his pitching choices at the end of games are a little odd too. He needs to kind of figure out what he wants to do and stick with it and find who's hot, who's not, and stick with those lineups.
Right. We've got a listener on the line who's an A-Rod fan. Now I got to ask this question. Ask it to both of you guys. Yeah, I'm going to ask this question to both of you guys who are Yankees fans, obviously, but. Excuse me, Nick, one of the things that you had pointed out way back when the Yankees were in preseason was that the fans that were coming out down there in Florida weren't exactly enamored with Alex Rodriguez to begin with. What's been the fan response to him now that the regular season has started, now that we're up in Yankee Stadium? I think I heard on the very first game, he was pretty well cheered there. That would have been about an 80-20, 80% of the fan base was cheering him at his first at-bat. Is that holding?
Yeah, you know what? I think it's higher now because Yankee fans, I believe, are the most intelligent fans in baseball, and they realize if, you know, this team's going to win, they're going to win with A-Rod. He's coming out. He looks good. He looks a little bit slow yet, you know, with his bat speed against fastballs. But the fans realize the Yankees are going to win if A-Rod's hitting. And I would say it's probably like 95-5 right now at home with the Yankee fans backing him. I was surprised in that first game when he got announced and the fans' support of him. That surprised me, but it was good. And then he goes out, and he is producing. He's producing as well as anyone in the lineup. He's played third. He's played first. And he's showing a humbleness that we've never seen from A-Rod before. And I think that's another way for fans, myself included, that view A-Rod in the past a certain way, and seeing how he acted in spring training, you know, how he's acted leading up to this point, and even now, it's a lot easier to accept him, especially with the production he's putting out on the field.
Big A-Rod fan, listener, talk to us. Give some sense here to the folks that are out there that might be listening, that really just look at his past and look at his activity, et cetera, and say, the guy's a scumbag. Why should we like this guy?
Is that me? You're asking?
Yep, that's Kevin. You. You're
okay,
the A-Rod fan. I'm sorry, I forgot the name. Go ahead. Give me the first
name.
Okay,
no, I'm Kevin. I know that another A-Rod fan called, so I didn't want to speak out of turn, but A-Rod's saving baseball, man. He's saving biceball. He's been the biggest distraction to the real travesty, which is the league allowing steroids, knowing steroids were taking place, knowing that the majority of the players were using steroids, and now A-Rod is the man that was caught. Okay, he didn't handle it with great character, but you know what? He's been such a distraction to the real problem, which is Major League Baseball, and he's actually saving the game because now he's going to be a feel-good story. He served his suspension. He's coming back. He's humble. He's going to finish up his career strongly. You see Reggie Jackson. You see who is the other one that are celebrating his milestone home runs. Okay, and I think because of the distraction and him manning up and taking his blows and playing and getting his booze, the guy's going to save baseball.
Wow, there's a lot of people, I think, that are out there that, you know, and if there's any that are listening, please jump in because this could get controversial. 347-826-9964. Well, you know,
big A-Rod fan on your hand here.
Yeah, I know. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But, Kevin, I mean, seriously, it didn't handle it with care and they manned up? Seriously? Didn't handle
he
it with care?
Man up.
It seems to me
you
that he thumbed his
Yankees
nose.
Knew that
he
they were
his
signing
nose
at
the
steroid
league.
User?
He
you don't think
his
the
nose
Yankees
at the league.
Knew? You don't think the Yankees knew that they were signing a steroid user? Are you crazy?
Well,
do you really
okay.
think the Yankees didn't know?
Okay, wait a minute. Are you trying to make a case for two wrongs make a right?
No, I'm trying to make a case where A-Rod has been chosen to be the scapegoat for Major League Baseball that knew. You don't think baseball knew that Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa were juiced up? Then when the shit hit the fan, sorry for my language, but when it hit the fan and all these coveted records started being broken and everyone wanted answers, what did Major League Baseball do? Say, oh, well, we didn't know anything about it. You know, steroids saved the game and the ball was juiced up and the ball was flying out of the ballpark. And all of a sudden, the stands are being filled, and Bud Selig's patting his pockets. And then all of a sudden, they want answers, and they're like, oh, well, we'll just have to throw Mark McGwire and Rafael Palmeiro and Roger Clemens. We'll throw all these guys under the bus, the guys that performed for us, the guys that saved baseball, the steroid users, okay? And now A-Rod's the last man standing, taking his blows, coming back, keeping his mouth shut, and performing. He's saving baseball.
All right. I've heard your case made before by others. Let me ask you this. Let's just say, for sake of argument, that you're right. I don't want to say a conspiracy, but it was some sort of cover-up sort of thing. Major League Baseball knew all along what was going on. You know, we had all that nonsense going on with McGwire and Sosa and all of those others back in the day, following the long strike in order to get the game back on its feet, et cetera. All right, where do we go from this point forward? I mean, don't we clean the game up now at this? Don't we clean the game up now at this point?
Yes, the game is being cleaned up, but I don't agree with baseball trying to turning. I think the majority of fans in baseball are very uneducated, so I think they've poisoned those people's minds. I think the real baseball fans, the real people that pay attention and watch, and are just like, wow, this is crazy. The league knew they were using. 90% of baseball was using. Second basemen had Popeye arms back in the late 90s. Are you kidding me? You couldn't even be in the lineup. The number nine hitters were hitting 20 home runs. Are you kidding me? It was nuts. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and now all of a sudden, oh, baseball, oh, we didn't know they were using. Well, okay, so if baseball wants to be stand-up guys, then why aren't they testing – why aren't they testing more superstars? Because they're sacrificing Alex Rodriguez to save the integrity of the game. Why isn't Alex Rodriguez on the soapbox getting questioned and getting stoned like A-Rod is, or Big Poppy? Why isn't Big Poppy getting the same treatment? I believe he's the next scapegoat, and A-Rod has taken his punishment and will now be embraced.
Okay.
As long as he keeps his attitude good.
I appreciate your argument and your stand, Kevin. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
Because as I pointed out, I've heard it. You're not the only one that I've heard bring this argument. I'm not sure that it and I think you understand, too, that it's probably not in the mainstream of most fans right now out there in Major League Baseball. Well, okay. But let me ask you this question real quick, and then I'm gonna move on. I'm gonna let you go. But
sure.
Apparently, some of the stories coming out of the New York Yankees are right now, they're not making a big to do about him getting to 660. This is not something that the New York Yankees is making a big to do about. If your philosophy, your theory is correct, that in fact he's going to be the savior of Major League Baseball, wouldn't there be a lot more being made about the fact he's about to hit a milestone?
No, because the Yankees are just as much of big babies as Bud Thielen. I think the Yankees have handled this very poorly as well. I don't blame A-Rod for suing them. I don't blame A-Rod for suing the Players Association. The Players Association was supposed to have his back. The Yankees didn't have his back. The Yankees knew what was going on. The Yankees knew who they were signing.
Well,
you know? I mean, just because A-Rod is not – I mean, everybody puts the Yankees and Major League Baseball on a pedestal. Why? They are so corrupt.
Well, you're not going to get any argument from me. I'm down here in Philadelphia.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm telling you, I mean, everybody wants to put baseball and the Yankees on a pedestal. Well, guess what? The Yankees didn't handle it well, okay? And the Yankees were trying – to do everything in their power to get out of that contract. Well, guess what? They signed that contract. You know, they didn't want him back. They were trying to get him off the team, and they did everything in their power. I mean, come on. You know, nobody twisted your arm. I know you sound like an intelligent guy. You don't think the Yankees knew they were signing a guy that had steroids in his system?
No, I'm not saying that they don't, and I think that I might agree with you. I think that they probably did. And if they didn't when they did sign him, let me tell you right now, there's probably times during the course of the contract that they did know. So I'm not denying that. But I mean, at this point right now, we know where the sentiment is of the fan base. The vast majority of it is in Major League Baseball. We know where that sentiment is. And that sentiment is not sitting around, with all due respect, and saying that Alex Rodriguez is going to be the savior of Major League Baseball. I mean, that's not the sentiment. And I'm not sure that we can necessarily sit there and say that all of them who have that sentiment are uneducated. I'm not sure if that's exactly the right way.
Well, let's just say that Alex Rodriguez isn't the distraction. Roger Clemens isn't the distraction. Rafael Palmeiro isn't the distraction. All the eyes are pointed, all the fingers are pointed at Major League Baseball, okay, saying that it's Major League Baseball. They knew what was going on. So what happens? The fan base goes away. The fan base says, okay, the big monster, the big corporate monster of Major League Baseball is corrupt. What? Then what happens? People stop going to ball games. What happens if they test all the stars? What happens if, half of the league, that the people that we love, the people that we pay our hard-earned money to go to the ballpark to see these guys play, what if all those guys are suspended for steroid use? Then what? Major League Baseball is gone. So what did they do? They picked A-Rod. They hammered him. They put him through the wash. They could have put Ortiz through the wash, too. They could have made him look stupid. They could have put him on the spot and asked him questions that he couldn't answer. That's what they did to A-Rod, and A-Rod just said, fuck it. Just said, you know what? I'm going to deny it. And he denied it, and here we are.
All right.
Okay? Ask those point-blank questions to any player, and they're going to deny it. And they turned him into a villain. He's a villain, yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now, I appreciate your comments. I appreciate you calling in, because I think you've created a good springboard for many of our other listeners who might be out there to jump in with us. And please continue to listen to the program and jump in with us again. Thanks, Kevin. I think the conversation's a good one, because we're going to get into it before this night is over, gentlemen, because one of the things that's going to come up on the schedule here is we've had a number of PED suspensions just this season already. One of the reasons I was hoping that we were going to get Brandon Warren in here is because one of those that was suspended for 80 games recently is one of the players over there on the Minnesota Twins, and I believe that's Irvin Santana. So we're going to get into talking a little bit about PED usage. I'm not sure if I necessarily agree completely with Kevin that I don't know how we can make the jump. And Nick, I jump back to bring you in here. I'm not sure how we can make the jump to say that somebody like an Alex Rodriguez is out to save baseball. That's a tough one to go to. Any thoughts on it?
Yeah, I mean, I have quite a few thoughts on what he just said.
Go ahead.
You know, I don't agree at all that Alex Rodriguez can or wants to save baseball. I don't even think that's in his thought process. As for baseball using Alex Rodriguez as a scapegoat, I think if they were going to do that, they would have done it the first time when things were a little bit more heated, you know, with everything going on. I wouldn't go as far as he went. I mean, I don't agree with everything that he said. I just look at A-Rod this year, you know, and what he's doing, and I think it's a good story in the sense that he can come back. You know, he got in trouble, he's going to serve suspension and came back, but I just don't think it's possible when you look at the Major League Baseball fans, and it's, you know, outside of New York, there's probably less than 5% of people stomach A-Rod. So I think it's, you know, nearly impossible to believe that that man can save baseball. I just want him to save or help save the Yankees season. But to believe that he can save the game of baseball, or that's at all in the realm of possibility, I think is somewhat viewing things through pinstripe shaded glasses.
Well,
here's the other thing that I see about the situation is the fact that if the MLB really knew that they were going to be bringing all these players into the league who are using steroids, coming in, putting people in the seats, you know, if the MLB knows and that gets out, don't you think that's going to do more to kill the game of baseball than anything else? because you're bringing in a bunch of these guys. Like, I could take steroids and play the game of baseball. It's like anyone could. It's like I think the real pull for baseball is the fact that, like, in any athletic sport, any professional athlete, is the fact that they're training and, like, they're working towards getting this, not just, like, taking steroids to the point where they're going to be strong enough to play a game. So I think if you're going to make the assumption that the MLB knows that they're doing this and is finally killing off all of these guys that they brought on to bring the game of baseball back to life, first of all, I mean, if you're bringing out all the guys that are putting people in the seats, then people are going to stop going to the games again. They're going to leave the stands again. And even more so if they knew they were doing it and are now getting rid of all those players.
I think there was a time in baseball when they needed to be saved. And I think that time was the era that I talked about before, which was the Mark McGwire, the Sammy Sosa, the Rafael Palmeiro, the Brady Anderson era, and many, many others, right immediately following the strike. That's when baseball needed to be saved. That's when I think, and look, I understand the cynicism. I think that perhaps maybe Major League Baseball did know at that point. And they were saying, look, just leave it alone. Leave it alone. We'll see where it goes from here. Let's just leave it. But A-Rod wasn't in that era. What we're talking about now, the biogenesis issues, were not in that era when Major League Baseball needed to be saved. To say that right now Alex Rodriguez is saving baseball is to assume that Major League Baseball right now needs to be saved. Does Major League Baseball need to be saved right now? And if it does, what does it need to be saved from? If it needs to be saved from anything right now, it's the NFL. And that's not drug-induced.
No, you nailed a point that's really right on, and that's that Major League Baseball, I think, is, you know, really, I mean, from what the strike, you know, to the PED situation to now, I think Major League Baseball is flourishing, especially with all the problems in the NFL. I think baseball is coming out, you know, looking really good. So I think that right now, I mean, Major League Baseball is probably at its highest point that it's been in, you know, as long as I can remember. So I definitely respect Kevin's opinion, but I just don't agree that, like what you said, that Major League Baseball needs saved. There's so many young superstars. You know, there's a lot of great teams. There's parity. You know, baseball has everything going for it right now. Bud Selig left, a wonderful game for the fans, and, you know, it's really hard for me to believe that anyone thinks that, you know, that Alex Rodriguez, you know, is coming to save the game, or anyone would want him to. And that is, with all due respect to his opinion, it's just, you know, I don't agree with it. I do think that the Yankees knew what they were getting themselves into. I do think that the Yankees are responsible for paying him that money when he breaks those records. I also think that, you know, Major League Baseball should celebrate those records. I don't think that they will. I think the Yankees will fight that money. But I don't agree with it, just like I don't agree with Alex Rodriguez is coming to save the game of baseball.
I know, it's almost laughable. I mean, I really do almost kind
of
want to laugh at it.
Yeah, I feel bad, but I totally agree.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think in some respects, his mere presence continuing in the game actually, unfortunately, kind of pulls it down. Now, Kevin might say to me that, you know, I'm a hater, or he might say that I'm a naysayer or I'm a cynic, but no, I really do. Look, I'm fine with it as it is right now. There's been no, he served his penalty for Major League Baseball. It is what it is. I made comment about it on this program a couple of weeks ago, might have been last week actually, that it's ironic to me that everybody, it seems, around the biogenesis issue right now, all seemingly is now going to jail, while Alex Rodriguez, his jail was 1 year off from baseball in his home. That was him, his jail. His own, what is it, cousin is going to spend time in jail for the situation. So, you know, I don't know. I gotta move on from it. But listen, it is what it is at this point. But we are going to talk about PEDs yet before we're done. If there's anybody out there, listen, for a program that I started out by saying is going to be flying by the seat of our pants, it's gotten off to a lively one, and we appreciate that. Yeah, really, it's been great so far. 347-826-9964. Jump in with us and give us a holler here. Give us whatever on your mind. 347-826-9964. Chat room's wide open, and like I said, there's comments going on in there, or you can hit me up over on Twitter. I see I got a couple of notifications over there. I'll check that in a second. Talking a little bit about the Yankees with Nick. Sean, let me pull you in here, because let's talk about your and my Philadelphia Phils for just 1 second. And we won't spend a lot of time on it, because I don't think there needs to be a lot of time spent on it. But I got to be honest, as I pointed out, I've watched 8 games already so far this season. There's a game going on right now. I need to get my TV on and check out and see what's actually going on as they play their third game against the New York Mets. They've already dropped the first two there. But I got to tell you something. Go ahead.
They're tied 1-1 right now in the bottom of the second.
Very good. Thank you. I got to be honest with you. I'm a little bit surprised by this Philadelphia Phils team. From this standpoint, they're 3-5. I kind of thought I didn't think they would be this good.
Oh, neither did I.
Yeah, there you go. And with the exception really of the home opener that they dropped to the Red Sox 8-0, with the exception of that one, most of the games that they've played, they've been fairly competitive. They've kept the scores close, within a run, maybe two. I think the most that we've seen maybe was the 6-2 loss then later on to the Red Sox there after the fact. But they've been fairly competitive, and they almost swept the Nationals, who many were saying might be the best team in the National League. What are your thoughts so far on what you've seen from the Philadelphia Phils?
I mean, the one thing that I can say is that I really don't think that their record is reflecting upon the level of play that they're at right now. Because from my standpoint, I see it as, I mean, you could almost call it like some lucky breaks. I'd like to say that, hey, this team's doing like so well right now. They're in third place with a 3-5 record, better than anyone expected them to start the season off. But I think they're still struggling to get their offense going. I mean, like, a lot of these games, it's coming down to the fact where, like, they'll bring it close, but it's too little too late, to the point where they're already down, they're chasing. And I really don't think they're getting all the production they need out of the offense. And I think one of those big things is Ryan Howard. Mm-hmm. There has been absolutely no production out of Ryan Howard this year. Going back to last week, talking about the fourth or fifth highest paid player mm-hmm. in Major League Baseball. And you're getting absolutely no production out of him. Sunday's game went 0-4 with 4 strikeouts. And he's your highest paid player, is supposed to be your big hitter, 0-4 with 4 strikeouts.
Well,
now,
I'd
also like to say that I think their defense is really struggling too. Like, they're struggling in two of the most important positions in the entire game. You've got pitching, hitting, and fielding. And I think they're struggling both at hitting and at fielding. I mean, their outfield's slow. There are guys out there. Darren Ruff can't run to catch a routine fly ball. They're falling in the outfield. I mean, I just really think that although they're doing well right now, it's the beginning of the season, there's still not a whole lot of sight into where the season's going to take them.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think what we're seeing right now is going to be the Phillies come middle of May, early June.
Well, you know, this is where I say, as I pointed out at the top of the program, this is where April is really a great month, because you can allow yourself, at least for a moment, even if you know that you're probably straddled with one of the lesser teams in Major League Baseball, despite that, you can allow yourself for at least a couple of days in the month of April to imagine. And I agree with you, Sean, that I frankly think that this is a, as we see, it's an offensive team that is sluggish, obviously. But I think if they really start hitting, and I don't mean hitting, but I mean just clicking together, they might actually start to produce some runs. I have seen a much better effort on the Phil's part to manufacture runs, which has always been something that was missing from the manual teams. But that's a compensation issue as a result of the fact you don't have Ryan Howard. Now, let's get to Ryan Howard for a moment, because there's been a lot of talk here in the Philadelphia region. What in the world do you do with this guy? Right now, Ryan Howard has four hits in 27 at-bats, and he's hitting 146. What in the world? There have been a lot of people that have said, just sit him down. You know, obviously we can't move him, not without eating a lot of the salary, and even if we could at this point right now, I don't think anybody's showing any interest in him whatsoever, not with a 146 batting average. One of the things that was pointed out, I'm trying to think by whom, on one of the broadcasts the other day. Oh, it might have been actually Mike Schmidt, I think, brought up on one of the broadcasts I was listening to the other day. He made the comment, he said, Ryan Howard was hitting fairly well down in exhibition, and his stance was different. All of a sudden, he comes up here to the majors, and the season begins. He goes back to his old stance, and we're looking at 146. Is there something? I don't get it. What is the matter with this guy? If it was working down there, why didn't he just leave it alone? I don't get it.
No, I mean, being quite a superstitious person, I mean, if you're the type to think that way, I mean, if it's not working one way, you change it and it's working another way. I don't understand, why would you change it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if he's having so much production using a different stance, I mean, at least for the first couple of games, give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to go back, give it a try, see how you do during regulation. And then if it works well, stick with that. And then, I mean, maybe if we were seeing the same production out of Ryan Howard now that we were in the preseason, maybe we'd be looking at a different Phillies team.
Well, I think, well, you might very well be, absolutely. And in some respects, as I pointed out, it being April, I can still imagine. And so, therefore, I go into each game saying, okay, maybe this is the game that we're going to see Ryan Howard turn it around. Maybe it's going to be this game. Maybe it's going to be this game. But when is enough enough, Sean? What do we do with this guy? I mean, do we just sit his butt down? I mean, we're paying him $25 million a year.
I mean, just the fact that you're paying him that much money, I don't think you could really just sit him. And, I mean, the other thing you're going to bring up is if you sit him, then what are you going to do with – I mean, what are you going to do with the rest of the team? Like, who are you going to put at first base? Where are you going to fill things in? I mean, it'll just be a whole big issue with him, and we're just going to be stuck with him for until his contract ends, when we can finally let him go, and, you know, then we'll be done with him, hopefully.
Yeah. Nick, throw in your thoughts. I mean, we got a big money player here. I mean,
yeah.
I know the Phils are not your team, but, I mean, certainly, this would be an issue, I think, on any team where you've got, as Sean pointed out, what, the number three or four highest paid player in Major League Baseball. What in the world do we do to this guy?
You know, living in Philadelphia here for the last, 8-9 years and cheering for every other Philly team, you know, and listening in the sports radio nonstop, you know, the Phillies are kind of like, you know, I got a soft spot for him because, you know, everyone around here is a Phillies fan, and I keep an eye on him. And I think a lot of stuff with Ryan Howard that it's hard for, you know, fans, and, you know, if I was a diehard Phillies fan, it would be for me as well, is, you know, all the things that he's went through recently. I'm not making excuses for him, you know, from his, you know, his family stealing money from him, you know, to Amaro Jr., you know, pretty much trashing the guy, to, you know, you know how Philly fans are. You know, this is another tough place to play. I think that with having played baseball for a long time in my life, you know, I know that it's a lot psychological. I think that Ryan Howard is one of those guys that, you know, probably needs coddled a little bit more. I don't think he handles criticism that well. And with all the craziness going on in his life mixed in with, you know, the injury he was coming back from then and everything else, I don't think he'll ever get back to even close to player that he is. But I don't think that it helps things when the GM of the team, you know, comes out and bashes you. I think that's counterproductive. Like, you know your stuff with them. You know, Amaro Jr., if there's anyone to blame for the Phillies being where they are and where I think they'll be for the next 5, 6, 7 years, you know, it's Amaro Jr., and I think that you have to play him. I'm looking, you know, at Ruff. He's playing first today. He's batting 067. You know,
yep.
It's not like, you know, why not put that guy out there that you're paying all that money to and see if he can snap himself out of it? Because a lot of times in baseball, which I'm sure you guys know, is you just get those – like, you have that two for four game, you know, maybe hit a double, and then the next day, you know, you go, like, 1 for 3. You start getting that confidence up. And Ryan Howard, to me, not to, like, psychoanalyze a guy, but I think that he is one of those guys that, you know, that needs that. And I think if he got a couple games together, you know, where he started getting his confidence back and maybe got comfortable in the stance, whatever stance he's using, I think the Phillies would be more productive. They're better with him in the lineup than sitting him on the bench. I think that that back-and-forth game on top of everything else that's going on in his life, it really hurts more than it helps. You have a team in the Phillies that are rebuilding. You know, what's the worst? What can happen with Ryan Howard out there? You're not going to get rid of him. You're paying him all this money. Give the guy a shot, especially early on here, to at least, you know, figure it out. You know, he's 35 years old, but, you know, he's really going to be around until the money's gone, because the Phillies are never going to be able to dump that salary.
Yep.
Play the guy. They don't have and, you know, there's no one out there. There's no one in this lineup that scares me at all. You know? So I would play him. And I really think that a lot of those things go into it. I mean, I like Ryan Howard, and I think a lot of things that happened to him are unfortunate. And I don't see the reasoning of not playing him every day, or every, you know, at least, you know, 4 or 5 games a week.
Well, it's interesting philosophy there. I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, Ryan Howard's not in the lineup tonight. We've got a left-handed pitcher, and that's just the way Rhino is going to manage the team. That's the way Ryan Sandberg's going to do it. If he's up against a left-hander, Ryan Howard will be sitting, period. That's the end of the discussion. The one thing I will say, I want to bring – we've got a caller, so I'm going to get to them here in 1 second. But Sean, you brought up the defensive issues and problems. You might be right. Yeah, we still have – obviously, we have some issues in the defense. I got to give kudos to Ben Rivera. In the field, not at the plate. He's been very, very good in the field. And who else did I want to give? There was somebody else I wanted to give a kudo to. I don't know what the thinking is with Herrera, the horrible. Honest to God, last night's game, and he's coming up in the 9th inning and showing bunt. I don't get it. God, that guy is horrible. What is he doing on a major league roster? Seriously. But let's get this. We got a caller, so let me get them online, and then we're going to move into a couple other things. Hey, thanks for calling Frat House Sports. Is cleanup hitters. What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, Frat House Mike. This is Rick. First of all, I just wanted to say, great show. You guys are full of energy, and I love listening to you guys talk because you're very passionate about the things that you talk about.
Thank you.
But I wanted to weigh in on the Phillies, since I am, you know, a Phillies fan and a homer here from the North Wales area. You guys were talking about Ryan Howard, and I do disagree a little bit with Nick's point, only because Ryan Howard is a 35-year-old player who's been in the league for quite a number of years, so I don't think that playing him more is going to give him any, you know, light bulbs going off on, you know, as far as, like, getting it. As a matter of fact, I'm kind of, like, the opposite, thinking that Darren Ruff is the guy, being a younger player, who actually deserves to get a chance to, you know, kind of get more than a game here and a game there. I think he's, for some reason, been on Ruben Amaro's you know, in his doghouse for a long time, and it doesn't really, you know, being a young player, he might be well served by getting some additional playing time, but, you know, you've got that $25 million contract.
That's it.
You know, you've got to play the guy. I mean, I don't know how you get out from under that if you can't get rid of him. So that was one thing. But on a brighter note, I kind of agree with you, Frouse, Mike, that spring kind of, you know, hope springs eternal. So looking at the Phillies, the one thing that's been a positive and one that I didn't expect is their starting pitching. It's actually been pretty good outside of that first game. And Cole Hamels usually does have rough Aprils. But outside of that, they've actually got pretty good starting pitching. So, you know, that's one aspect that's been really, really good about the Phillies early on. And I think that that is one of the reasons why they're 3-5, nothing to write home about. But certainly it's better than being, you know, 0-8 or 1-7, which, you know, there's a couple teams that are better at that spot in the major leagues right now. So I think that there are some positives there. I just wish that the Phillies had more youth kind of infused into the lineup, because that's really where I think that they faltered. And I think that that does come back on Ruben Amaro, which I think Nick made that point earlier. You know, that a lot of where the Phillies are because of the general manager's position, not being able to infuse the aging Utleys and Howards and Ruizes with some young guys around them. For example, if Dominic Brown had been the five-tool player we thought he was, Philly's offense wouldn't be in as bad of a shape as it is right now.
Yeah, well, they took that. We rolled the dice on that one. I guess it was 4 years ago already now. Hard for me to believe. I remember the very first night that Dominic Brown was brought up from AAA, and he made the move from AA to AAA very, very quickly. And my gosh, the brouhaha that there was about Dominic Brown making his major league debut, I will never forget it. I was so excited myself. And boy, oh boy, has that turned out to be so incredibly, incredibly arduous and wrong. But a great point, Rick, about the, you know, some of the little gems that we've seen so far in the pitching staff. Aaron Harang, Sean, has been really a nice little addition so far. You know, I know he's got a 1-1 record, but a 0.73 ERA.
Oh, yeah, he's looking really good in his two starts there. Yeah. I mean, I think I was looking at it earlier, and I think he had 12 innings pitched, something like that. So, I mean, he's averaging 6 innings.
Yep.
Which, I mean, the Phillies might, you know, they might benefit a little bit from a little more, maybe like an extra inning there, like maybe into 7 innings. But definitely quite a pickup it's turning out to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I kind of like, albeit right now, boy, he got lit up the other day. Buchanan got lit up. But I like when I watch Buchanan pitch, I like what I see from him on the mound. But, boy, well, we'll see how it goes. Right now, an 11.42 ERA. But that's after just two starts. So we'll see how it goes. Rick, thanks for the comments. We appreciate you calling in tonight. Please keep listening and let your friends know to tune into us. All right?
Certainly will.
All right, great. All right, let's move it around here because I want to get into another topic because we brought it up last week. And listen, if there's anybody else out there, please, we've had two great calls tonight, and I appreciate that. And many more would be appreciated. 347-826-9964. As they say, we've got a few lines open. Yeah, we've got a few. 347-826-9964. Give us a holler here. Tell us what's on your mind with regard to Major League Baseball. We got about a half hour or so left for you here. If you're listening Skype on computer, rather, you can hit us up on Skype or hit me up over on Twitter, at Frat House Mike, or in the chat room right here. Let me get into the Josh Hamilton thing here real quick, because I got a couple of clips here I want to play. We brought it up last week, and the Josh Hamilton story just continues to I don't want to say spiral out of control. I guess maybe it gets a little more negative, gets more and more negative, I guess.
The ship continues to sink further.
Yeah, but you know what? It's not sinking for Josh Hamilton the way that I see it. It appears to me it's sinking on the Angels management. Let me do this. I'm going to hit you up with one clip here. I got two. I'm going to hit you up with the first one. This is a clip from the Doug Gottlieb show the other day. Doug Gottlieb, I believe, is a CBS Sports affiliate that appears on numerous CBS Sports radio networks. This is Dan Gottlieb. This is just a couple of minutes from, I guess, a bit of a rant, if I might call what Doug Gottlieb does. I wouldn't necessarily call him a ranter, but a little bit of a rant. And I stripped out just a couple of minutes of it. Let me play his thoughts on Josh Hamilton.
As Artie Moreno, the team owner, says that the team might look for recourse contractually, okay, that they might try to go after some of his contract. He told the LA Times, quote, "We've got a contract with Josh. That contract has specific language that was signed and approved by him that said he could not drink or use drugs. There is the possibility of pursuing it." Again, this is about the production, which you see on the CBS Sports graphic right now. In his two seasons with the Angels, low batting average, a lot of strikeouts, no home runs, no power, no driving inability. He's been a total bust for that contract. Now, for the Angels to be kind of going after a guy who is dealing with the personal demons, it's amazing they're this tone deaf. You know, if behind the scenes the Angels want to slam their fist on the desk and be aggravated and angry that he's doing drugs or whatnot, and maybe they think that this is factoring into a production, in his production or lack thereof, that's understandable. You know, you have to have those types of conversations and debates behind closed doors with your people. And if Artie Moreno's going, "We're paying this guy $25 to $30 million a year. We still got him under contract for the next couple of years. He can't be doing this. I feel shafted. Why are we paying this guy?" And he wants to throw a potted plant across the room like Bobby Knight. One could understand. As long as the plant isn't worth $25 to $30 million, because then it's just a wash. But you could understand that. But to go through the media and the general manager and the owner basically just putting this guy on Front Street is really being tone deaf. You can do all of this behind the scenes. You don't need to go through the media. It doesn't help you to go through the media.
All right. I want to get Nick in on this one, because we talked a little bit about this last week. And Sean, I think you were on last week with Caleb and myself. I think you had made a comment about it last week as well. But let me get Nick in on this. Nick, what's your thinking on this whole thing? Because it seems to me that suddenly this has turned where a lot of people, I think, initially would have said, "Boy, Josh Hamilton, this guy is really just a loser. Can you imagine he's going out and he's falling off the wagon again?" This is now all of a sudden has kind of turned in his favor as the management is getting slammed for the fact that they seemingly have released information that they weren't supposed to have. Give us your read on this.
You know, we talked about this in one of the first shows I was on with you. This is all about the amount of money he's being paid and the fact that he's hurt. They're leaking stuff to the media, and then, you know, when they decided, Major League Baseball decided not to suspend them, to come out and, you know, disagree with that and not back your player. It seems to me that it should be obvious to everybody they're doing this because they owe him all that money and he hasn't produced in an Angels uniform. And they're being really slimy about it. And, you know, if I'm a player and, you know, I'm in free agency in a year or two and, you know, the Angels have come knocking at the door, I mean, I would think twice about it. Even C.J. Wilson came out and he said something about, you know, if, you know, if Hamlet, if Josh was producing, like, you know, he normally has produced before he got here, would this even be an issue? And he talked about how he was, you know, C.J. Wilson was talking about how the Angels hired private investigators to follow him around. This is slimy at the utmost degree, what they're doing here at Josh Hamilton, in my opinion.
It has gotten contentious from what we've heard from some people over in the Angels camp. In fact, I tried to get somebody on from the Los Angeles media for this program today. Part of the problem I think we run into with some of our folks out there in the Los Angeles community is the time difference. You know, we're airing our program here at 7 p.m. in the evening, and it's actually 4 o'clock in the afternoon there, and it doesn't always jive. But so I was actually trying to get, and we might still be able to get, perhaps maybe on a subsequent program, somebody from out there in the Angels network to join us. But this thing's gotten somewhat contentious. Now, apparently, though, according to reports that were released yesterday over on Fox Sports from Ken Rosenthal, apparently, Josh Hamilton is beginning to show up for practices, et cetera, despite the fact there is a lot of tension, obviously, as a result of this whole situation. Does Angels management, and I ask this to both of you guys to get your sense on it, does Angels management, should they be held to account for perhaps breaking some, well, I don't know. I mean, releasing to the media that he is being treated by doctors, is that could be a violation of HIPAA laws, huh? I'm not sure. But should they be held accountable for breaching, I guess, confidentiality?
I think they should. I mean, just any professional doctor, psychiatrist, whatever he'd be going to try to figure this situation out. I mean, there's doctor-to-patient confidentiality. And although he is in a position where his name's being thrown around in the media, I don't think that he should be subjected to all of his personal steps to trying to figure out what's going on should be announced to the entire world to hear and judge.
This is kind of, I don't know, sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, I don't know if you remember when we were talking about before, like, this is kind of in my wheelhouse. Like, what I do, you know, I write and, right. and I do some radio shows and sports, but what I do for a living is I'm a drug and alcohol counselor.
Right.
And you're absolutely right. This violates HIPAA laws. You go to your employer. You know, if you check yourself into a facility, counseling, all that kind of stuff, and they cannot tell someone else in that building that he's doing this or he's doing that. I would, you know, I would think that they would probably say, obviously, you know, say that they didn't leak it. But yes, this, they're breaking laws here. This isn't about baseball anymore. You know, they're breaking federal laws by leaking information, because I'm sure, you know, he's going to counseling. You know, he's probably getting back into the program of his choice. And they're doing things, they're breaking laws. You know, the HIPAA laws are some of the most serious laws in this country to protect us, you know, to talk to a doctor, to get help. And if we do that and we're under employment, you know, we can't be fired. You know, we could be, you know, subjected to anything, you know, outside of, as long as we're up front, there was no, you know, urine test, which there was in this case. He came forward, you know, so, you know, us as, you know, American, you know, citizens, like, these are some serious laws that they're breaking, and they should be held accountable, and the leaks just happen to be, I have a question for you guys, because I'm curious. If he doesn't get hurt, or one, or if he's producing at the levels that they expected him to produce, and this same situation happens, do the Angels have his back, or do they bail on him and leak information to the press like they are right now?
Well, it's funny you ask that, because part of the sound clip from Doug Gottlieb that I brought, that I just brought here on the air, the front end of it that I had stripped out was, in fact, Dan Gottlieb saying, hey, make no mistake about it, if this is a Josh Hamilton that's hitting 321, they're all over it, and they're keeping their mouth shut. And, of course, they are welcoming him back as quickly and as soon as they possibly can. I mean, I think it's quite evident it is all about production. Let me go here real quick. Because I bring up the question about whether, you know, the management should be held accountable for a breach of confidentiality. This is another clip. And again, this is where I'm talking about how this whole thing has turned. It suddenly has turned. When the story first broke, I think there were a lot of fans out there, a lot of people who said, oh, my God, can you believe this? Josh Hamilton is going to let the team down again. Well, now suddenly it seems to have turned, and no longer are we hearing that people are really coming down on Josh Hamilton. Now it's, hey, what the heck is wrong with the Angels management? Why aren't they backing this guy? This was Keith Olbermann from just the other evening, where he calls out Rob Manfred and says, Rob Manfred, you're a fraud. You're not doing your job.
We begin with Bud Selig's successor, Rob Manfred, who has just endorsed gambling while refuting it, just offered hope to Pete Rose while denying it, and just completed his investigation of the Josh Hamilton leak by not conducting an investigation. You will recall the Angels have the biggest motive in the leaking of the supposedly confidential case of whether or not Hamilton violated his drug aftercare program. Even though Hamilton went to baseball for help, confessed his possible sins, reportedly never tested positive, it all went public, and after an arbitrator said he had not violated the baseball drug rules and would therefore not be punished, the Angels and the commissioner's office both went on the record again about something that was still supposed to be kept secret, and both made it look like Hamilton had gotten away with something. That the decision meant the Angels would not be keeping any of the $83 million they still owe Hamilton was a conflict of interest big enough to make sure that while he didn't fail a drug test, their objectivity in this didn't pass the smell test. I have no reason to believe the Angels did anything inappropriate, Manfred said in explaining to the Los Angeles Times that there would be no investigation. No, of course you don't. Just because when asked if Hamilton was in New York for a punishment hearing, the general manager of the Angels confirmed on the record that Hamilton was in New York. Confidentiality is an important component of the drug program. Unfortunately, the more people that know about something, the less likely it is that it's going to stay confidential. So you agree that confidentiality was violated, but you're not going to investigate the Angels? You're not going to investigate anybody else? I think we will work hard going forward to make sure we do everything we possibly can to retain the type of confidentiality that has generally been a hallmark of our program. Which is when the commissioner himself then violated the spirit and maybe the letter of that confidentiality program by again publicly talking about what an arbitrator has ruled is not a violation of baseball's drug policy. The Times writes, Manfred would not say if Hamilton had entered a substance abuse rehabilitation clinic, but he did say Hamilton is, quote, in the program, and added, we have the very best doctors involved, and I hope it turns out to be a positive result. So the new commissioner has now twice gone on the record, joining that Angels general manager twice, and the team president once, even though, as Craig Calcaterra writes at NBC's Hard Talk, baseball's joint drug agreement spans 58 pages, and the issue of confidentiality is so important, it is given seven full sections over seven of those pages. The commissioner continues, issues like the Hamilton situation are difficult for everyone involved. I'm sure the club and the player will find a way to work together moving forward. I don't think it's as serious a problem as it might appear. Just because the general manager of the club issued a petulant statement in which he threw the player under the bus on the record, saying he had broken an important commitment to the fans. Just because the president of the club said it, quote, defies logic that Josh's reported behavior is not a violation of his current program. No, I'm sure the commissioner is right. Sorry. There's no reason to believe the Angels did anything inappropriate, despite their three inappropriate statements. No reason to investigate, even to confirm the commissioner's hunch, even to try to find out if there are other facts involved or other suspects, or just to clear the only other suspect with an obvious motive here, namely the commissioner's own office. Who needs any of that? In his heart, the commissioner knows his guess is right.
Wow. You know, I guess, you know, you want to take conspiracy theories to a next level. One might imply from some of Olbermann's comments there that, in fact, our brand new commissioner here is kind of turning his head on the league's own policies. You know, when is Major League Baseball, when's the Players Association going to step in? You know, you got to wonder because they really have been somewhat mum on the whole issue, Nick. I mean, you know, I know you follow baseball from the standpoint of the media. What's your thinking? Why hasn't the Major League Players Association come out on this?
I'm not really the only thing that I have thought about this a little bit. The only thing that I can think of is right now Josh Hamilton is trying to focus on himself because, he's obviously back in the early stages of recovery. And, you know, you want kind of the craziness that, you know, has already started without him. I would imagine that they are waiting till he's okay, you know, mentally, not physically in the baseball format, something like that. I think they're waiting to, you know, stand up for him, waiting for him to get himself right. He would be prepared to, you know, go into this, you know, or, you know, go to anything outside of taking care of his, you know, his drug habit. That's my hope. I'm always skeptical of these players' unions, that they have the best interest of the players in heart. I mean, you know, this is a really, really twisted situation that's going on. And I hope that what I'm thinking is right, that they're just waiting for Josh Hamilton to get right. And they're not, you know, towing the company line in a sense, on Major League Baseball side. But I'm not sure. They should be doing something. They don't need Josh Hamilton right now to step up for him, then to get involved in this and punish the Angels in some way. Just imagine if this was the NFL. Okay, that's a bad example. Just imagine if this was, you know, done by the letter of the law. You know, sorry, the NFL was definitely a bad example. There should be punishment. There should be. From the Angels organization needs to be punished here. And what they did, and I don't, obviously they didn't know this, they made Josh Hamilton a bigger victim in the eyes of Major League Baseball fans and society as a whole by what they've done. Because no one wants that confidentiality broken. No one wants to feel that they can't go seek help and have their employer go behind their back and leak it to other employees or, you know, in this case, to the media. So they've made Josh Hamilton, you know, people that normally wouldn't feel bad for him, feel bad for him.
You know, you bring up an interesting situation, though, and I guess maybe one that I might bring up on tomorrow night's Frat House Sports Show right here. Now that I'm thinking about this, when you say that, when you said it was a bad example to the NFL, I'm not sure if it is a bad example to the NFL. Two completely different animals in the way that they operate from the standpoint of player contracts. But I got a question. Wouldn't over in the NFL, if Josh Hamilton had stood up, and even had he done in the NFL as he has done here, voluntarily stepped up and said, hey, I made a mistake, I failed, I have fallen off the wagon again. An NFL team could have, if they had so desired at that particular moment, cut him right then and there. Bam. Interesting situation.
Well, that's
situation.
The thing is that in Major League Baseball, that with the guaranteed contracts
right.
In the NFL, obviously, you know, nothing's guaranteed. You know, in the NFL, that, you know, that makes a big difference. They can cut him. And I think that's what the Angels are thinking, is they're finding in any which way they can to get out of it. And one of the things that's been brought up a lot is, you know, him breaking, you know, the language of his contract. Well, he didn't, because he didn't fail a urine test. He didn't get arrested. He voluntarily admitted to this mistake. That does not, from my understanding, and I've looked into this a little bit, that doesn't break his contract in any way, because he didn't break any Major League Baseball rules. He didn't get arrested. He voluntarily told on himself, which I'm sure, you know, the people that are in his like support group told him to do. Because what's best for Josh Hamilton, the man, is most important right here. But you know what? You're probably right about the NFL with it being handled better, because I can't see an owner And let's take the cut thing off the table. I just can't see one of these NFL owners doing what the Angels have done. I really can't see any owner in any sport doing what the Angels are doing. I can't. And I could be completely wrong. I just think that, you know, I see what they're doing. Obviously, everyone probably does with how much money is owed. He's not producing and all that. But this is so below the belt and just disgusting that it really bothers me, every fiber of my body, what they're doing. It really does.
There's no doubt. I mean, obviously, as we pointed out numerous times here, this is all about, it's contract-driven. This whole thing is being contract-driven. What they would like to do is find cause to get out of the contract. That is what the Angels would like to do. And they're going to be held up at every chance they can get. You got to wonder, and again, Nick, I guess I throw it to you simply because of the fact you write for a Major League Baseball organization. You know, when that collective bargaining agreement comes up again, could we see owners pushing for the structure of contracts, perhaps maybe the way that they are in the NFL, so that teams like the Philadelphia Phillies don't find themselves with an albatross like a Ryan Howard, or Los Angeles Angels don't find themselves with a situation like this where they're stuck with a Josh Hamilton, whether they like it or not, despite whatever they want to make up or not?
I can't see no way. I mean, I can see the owners trying their darndest to get that done, but I can't see any scenario or think of any way, wording, that the Players Association would accept that. And if they do, it would be a long fight and it would be years down the road. No player is going to want to have that NFL, you know, style contract where there's nothing guaranteed. Like that's one of the, you know, the NBA, you know, Major League Baseball, you know, if you're paid that money, you're paid that money where it's guaranteed. I just can't see the players supporting that close to enough that they would agree on it. But I could see this becoming an issue where the owners want that, the players obviously don't, and, you know, causing some problems for baseball as they fight over it when there is a new CBA coming up.
Yep, absolutely. We got just a couple of minutes here left before I start to wrap things up and throw out shout-outs and, excuse me, thank yous and warm-ups for tomorrow night and what have you. But real quick, I wanted to get into this because it did hit this past week. We've had four, and I have a feeling this is also going to fall over in perhaps maybe even into tomorrow night's flagship program, the Frat House Sports Show, right here, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Everybody can tune in live for that one. We've had four 80-game suspensions so far, I think, since preseason and going into the regular season so far for PED usage. But this is a kind of odd, and I don't know whether anybody's got any thoughts on it. This one's kind of odd because we're not talking about these really, you know, the PEDs that we're used to hearing about recently have been ones that are more real performance enhancement. These are of the old anabolic steroid variety, the ones that kind of build mass steroids. All four that have been cited are pitchers. All four are pitchers. And Major League Baseball right now is saying, we're looking into why all of a sudden are we seeing a spike in these? We haven't seen a spike in this kind of a drug in quite a few years. Nick or Sean, any thoughts on what's going on here all of a sudden? This, you know, somebody brought up today, is this the possibility where perhaps maybe this is some sort of situation that's hidden in some sort of supplement that some of these guys might be taking and they're not even aware of it?
It could be. I think it could also be a case of, I mean, we haven't seen a case of this specific steroid use for, I think it was about a decade now. But I think it could be a case of the fact where they're going back and trying to use something that hasn't been caught or used in so long, and maybe they can get away with it by using something that people aren't looking for.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, with any player, I mean, with my opinions about the game, I mean, I'm not too fond of anyone who uses any type of PED. So,
right.
I mean, even if you're, if you're unknowingly doing it, okay. I mean, there's probably, if someone's trying to give you something, it would raise some questions. But if you're knowingly taking PEDs, I just think that that's completely unacceptable.
The drug that we're talking about here is Stanozolo. Any thoughts, Nick, on what might be going on here? Is this something that perhaps maybe this is an unknowing situation?
No, I agree with what Sean said about, you know, anyone that used PEDs. Like, I wish they would put a language in the, you know, one that's something Major League Baseball should address, is that there should be no second strike, in my opinion. I think that we've been down this, you know, dark hallway too many times. If it really, you know, I know this is a little bit off, but there should be some wording in there. Like, there's no second strike. Like, you know, Major League Baseball has taken enough black eyes, enough bruises from this nonsense. But as for the sudden outbreak, my guess would be one of two things. It's either, you know, this is in there and they don't know, they're just taking a supplement, like you had said, Mike, or this was a drug they were beating the test with before, and Major League Baseball has, you know, because obviously with technology, you know, we can pick things up faster than we could 10 years ago, 5 years ago, and whatnot. So it could be, you know, that it's been there and people have been using it, and now it's just popping up because the tests they're given are better tests. Or, you know, it could be that, you know, some of these players don't know. I highly doubt that anyone is taking any kind of PED and they don't know it. Just because how your body changes. I just don't see that being possible. I think it's probably more that this was beaten the test before and now it's not.
Yeah. Well, or maybe they've caught up to, you know, because there's masking agents out there as well. Perhaps maybe there's a situation where perhaps maybe, as you point out, the technology's gotten so well that the testing's gotten past the masking agent. All right, I got to wrap it up here for this evening. For a program that I thought we'd be flying on the sea of our pants, it certainly has been a lively one. Many thanks, Sean. Many thanks to Nick Swartz for joining us here tonight and pinch hitting. Nick, real quick, how can everybody catch up with you? BaseballHotCorner.com, that's one place I know, right? Well, where else?
BaseballHotCorner.com, at Sweetness13 on Twitter. I'm all over social network. Bleacher Report, Yard Barker, do a radio show, 1450 AM, the Sports Buzz in Kentucky. Always talking baseball, always talking sports, and always around. And it was my pleasure to fill in and, you know, be on the air with you fine gentlemen. It was a great time.
Thank you. We're going to pull you back in here when we need to. If you don't mind being on our sick call list, I'm sure we'll get you back.
Not a problem. I'm always here for you.
Thanks very much,
Brad.
Rick. I appreciate it.
Brad, Mike, I think we're going to have to start extending these shows if we keep up the way we do.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, we'd have to go to maybe 2 hours or so. But I like the flow of it tonight. Many thanks to our callers. Many thanks to our listeners. And please make sure that you are here with us tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern time, for our flagship program. We've got it's going to have a heavy NHL flavor to it as the NHL playoffs get kicking off this evening. We're going to be joined tomorrow night by John Boric from Comcast Sportsnet right here in Philadelphia. We'll be talking a little bit of Philadelphia Flyers. No, they're not in the playoffs, but we will be talking the playoffs with John Boric as well and the Philadelphia Flyers. And then later in the evening, we'll be joined by Pat Legs. We've had him on here before, from NHLNFA. So make sure you're here for that program. I'll be back here with you as well on Saturday at 2 p.m. for our relaxed Frat House Saturday program. Thank you, gentlemen, and thank you all of you that have been listening in this evening. Enjoy the rest of the evening, and enjoy whatever baseball game you're watching right now. Take care.